Today's episode is brought to you by Lufthansa. Time flies comfortably when you're enjoying every minute, every detail, and every little indulgence on your flight. Lufthansa. Nonstop you.
Can Silicon Valley contend with Mother Nature?
This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Hello, this is the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. As always, I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. And lately, tech giants all throughout the digital realm are starting to take a cold, hard look at physics. They've found themselves in a bit of a bind. How do they marry the digital world to the physical world? And at the same time, hold on to their influence and, of course, continue to make money. While they promise to reinvent everything from cars to thermostats to drones, they found themselves face to face with the physical world, and as such, it's become clear what a roadblock that can be. Is this a sign that innovation is stalling in the economy? And can tech companies learn how to grapple with the world that lives outside the digital space? Let's get more on this from the Wall Street Journal's Jack Nickis, who joins us on the line right now from San Francisco. So, Jack, this really seems to be a testament to the fact that in software and in technology, programmers can really control their world. In the physical world, it changes. Things are very unpredictable. And with all the advances that are being made in tech, it seems like tech companies are really starting to face these cold, hard facts. What are tech companies seeing in this regard?
Yes, exactly. So I would say that, you know, tech companies have had tremendous success with software over the past two decades. They have, you know, produced some, you know, amazing innovations in software, and it really has transformed modern life in many ways. And now they are pushing into the physical world. And essentially that means new moving computers in some ways, like self-driving cars, delivery drones, new sorts of wind turbines and contact lenses and, glasses that are, you know, augmented reality that are intended to interpret the real world around us. And all of this means that, these computers are no longer just talking in the world of bits, which is ones and zeros, but they have to understand atoms, essentially, and understand the physical world around us. And that is a much more difficult problem in many ways because, as you said, the physical world is messy and it's unpredictable, and even the smartest computers, you know, really can't prepare for every possibility they're going to encounter in the physical world. So we wrote a long story about this, honing in on Alphabet, which is the Google parent, their delivery drone project, and how they're struggling to make it work after, you know, 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, can you talk a little bit more about that? Because that was a really fascinating part of the whole piece, the struggles they're dealing with in terms of Mother Nature, in terms of physics and the whole nine.
Sure. So we kind of told the story of this entire delivery drone project, which began in 2012. This research lab at Alphabet called X, it was once called Google X, they essentially work on these big so-called moonshot projects that can take 5 to 10 years. And usually involves new technology and tries to create a revolutionary solution to a long-standing problem. And they wanted to revolutionize logistics with delivery drones. So in 2012, they brought on this MIT robotics professor, Nick Roy, to build a delivery drone. And essentially, you know, around that time, there were two kinds of drones. Copter drones, which, you know, kind of hover like helicopters, and then there were fixed-wing drones that, you know, kind of glide like an airplane. Both have pros and cons. The copter drones can hover, but they are inefficient. They can't travel very far, whereas the fixed-wing drones are quite efficient and can travel far, but they often need a runway to land. Mm. So they tried to build a hybrid drone that could take off vertically but also fly horizontally and glide like a plane. This is something that aeronautics engineers have tried for decades and have always struggled to do, just in some ways because it's a matter of physics. And Google was no different. They tried to develop what's called a tail sitter, basically a glider plane that will kind of sit on its haunches before it takes off vertically, and then it rotates in midair to glide horizontally. And, you know, everything worked in simulations. It worked in paper. On the computer, et cetera. But then once they brought it out into the real world, it had issues. It didn't follow flight paths precisely. Oftentimes when it was trying to land, it would topple over. Before it was going to take off, the wind would tip it over. When it rotated in there, the antenna would become disoriented. And these are things that, you know, with software, things can be tweaked quickly, et cetera. But in hardware, you know, you have to build this thing, go to a field to fly it, crash it, rebuild it, test it again. It's a much longer process, and now we stand, 4 years later, they've got a new design, but even that is still unreliable. So it is sort of proof that hardware is, more difficult than software.
Yeah, and I think that's really just the perfect example that really just lays the issue out clearly. But there's not only physics and Mother Nature necessarily to contend with. How do things like, public safety and things like regulation factor in?
Right. So, the other thing here is we have to consider that for the first time in many ways, Silicon Valley is developing computers that in some ways are products that present a physical risk to humans. If Google search malfunctions, no one probably is going to get hurt. But if a self-driving car has a glitch, someone's well-being is at risk. And with that, because the stakes are higher, we are also seeing regulators are taking more interest in some of these products, and tech companies are potentially having to grapple with regulatory proposals that require pre-approval of their products, something they've never really had to deal with before. Silicon Valley, in many ways, because they have built this new world of software and digital revolution, regulators oftentimes are trying to catch up. But as now they push into more established industries like autos and like aviation, there are existing regulatory agencies and are existing bodies of rules that they have to comply with.
We're talking Silicon Valley versus physics with The Wall Street Journal's Jack Nickis. You're listening to The Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing.
Today's episode is brought to you by OnePlus, maker of the new OnePlus 3T smartphone, the next generation of the year's best-reviewed phone. Featuring industry-leading processor speeds, 16-megapixel front and rear-facing camera, up to 128 gigabytes of storage, and a premium all-metal build. Plus, the OnePlus 3T has Dash Charge, an exclusive technology that sets a new benchmark in charging speeds. A quick half-hour charge will give you a full day's worth of battery life. Make it yours without a carrier contract at OnePlus.net.
Thank you, as always, for listening. So, Jack, the final thing that really comes into play here is the issue of speed, of timing. Because in the digital world, everything moves so rapidly. It's an interesting place Silicon Valley is in, because this is obviously going to be a much slower process in figuring this out. I wonder how they're grappling with that.
Yes, it certainly is. I mean, as you said, software can be, distributed instantly, right? And software can be replicated endlessly. Google search engine began on a single computer in Stanford University dorm room in 1996, and by 2000, it was handling 60 million queries a day. So the ramp-up can happen very, very rapidly in software. With hardware, it is much more difficult. To their credit, I think that the research and development lab at Alphabet X certainly understands this, and that's why they put a 5 to 10 year timeline on some of these products, because they are so ambitious. Mm-hmm. And Ashton Teller, the head of that program, he doesn't quibble with this idea that the physical world is messy and that hardware is hard. He fully understands this and says it's sort of the nature of the problem there, and it's something that it takes an appetite for risk to tackle these issues, and so we should give some credit to the companies trying to do this.
Absolutely. Jack Nickis, really fascinating piece. Thank you for joining the podcast to explain it a little bit more.
Thank you.
We've been speaking to the Journal's Jack Nickis. For more on his story, please be sure to check out wsj.com/tech. Really, really interesting piece. That wraps up this edition of the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos in New York.
WSJ Podcasts, now available on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and the Google Play Music app.